All right, let's go ahead and find a sitting down spot. About time to start church tonight. A couple people out there and coming on in. Their names are Sandy and Katrina. So maybe we can pray hard and maybe we can and will. And I'd like to see my sisters come to know the Lord. And how many of you got loved ones that need to be saved? Oh, there's hands up all over. And really, getting saved is just kind of giving me new excitement about that and energy. I'm tickled to death that getting baptized tonight. We know baptism don't mean a thing except being obedient to the Lord. It is a public show what the Lord has done for you. Baptism, as we all know, is a critically important step for every Christian. And so, thank God you're up there witnessing that. And we hope one day his other brother, the same will happen. And maybe one of your loved ones. And that'd be great, wouldn't it? All right, let's go ahead and open. It's a song. Let's just have a song.
All right, so we're going to sing. Well, before we start, and the choir's already aware of this, but we're going to let you choose some favorites tonight, give the choir a break. It looks like there's only about four or five people in the audience that weren't in the choir, so that's good. But I'm going to make the rule that you have to maybe humble yourself a little bit and admit that you're over 40. If you're over 40, I'll let you pick out some of the songs we sing tonight. So number 183, I'll start, and then we'll have you pick a few. Let's stand and sing Come and Dine, the 183. All right, sing together. We're going to sing the first and last of all of these. Okay, let's sing. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With this manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride, to be ever at his side, all the hosts of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. All right, one out of, okay, Leslie, number 300. Remember the rules, if I don't know them, you have to sing. I forgot about that rule earlier. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Okay, 300. Sing the first and last. Here we go. There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Won't you come to him with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. One more, then we'll have prayer, then we'll do some more. Somebody else. Okay, Melvin. 393. Also, if I don't know them, you have to also get somebody to come up and play the piano. Okay. I wish I'd get it. I'm making up rules as I go. And the choir knows this one. Let's sing together. My and my, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn shadowed face. My and my, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more, more so. from His face, beautiful face, in the light of that heavenly place. I wish I had given Him more, so much more of my life.
When they change the words, not you.
All right, it's amazing. Boy, that ought to be the prayer of all of us. Good song, Brother Melvin. I wish I'd given Him more. But you know, we don't have to wait to get to heaven and not do it and then wish that. We can just give Him more now and determine in your heart just to do it. And the best way I know to do it, just do it, right? And get busy, and we are, and you are. But don't wait till you get to heaven. Lord, I wish I'd done more. We're probably going to say that anyway. We could all do more. And anyway, let's do more, okay? Let's pray. Father, Lord, the words of that song ring true to my heart. Lord, it seems like we're busy and this, that, and the other. Lord, it's all said and done at the end of the day. Every one of us could whisper a prayer and plead to You, Lord, that I wish I'd done more today. Lord, maybe there's a track we need to give, a witness we need to give, a smile we need to give, a something to somebody to help encourage them along life's way. Point them to the Savior, died for their sin. But help us to do more. Now bless the service tonight, Lord, we pray. Brother Sonny tonight, Lord, You'll touch him. Good to see Judy here tonight. We pray for others who could not be here. Pray for our pastor, Lord, and his family, going up to Monroe to witness the baptizing of his brother. Lord, maybe it's still in our hearts a burning desire, a burning drive to get out to our relatives and our loved ones and tell them about the Lord one more time. Thank You for what You do with us tonight. In Christ's name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Brian's not here to give you announcements, but I'll give you one or two that I can think of. Wednesday night, that's a good announcement, isn't it? And I said, be here Wednesday night for church. And then a ladies' jubilee meeting, I know, is Thursday. I think it's 6:30, is that right? 6:30 Thursday. Sheldon, you getting the live stream fixed up there or not? Okay, phone trying, brother. And, okay, good. Melvin's happy now. And, but that's that. And then, next Sunday. Oh, anyway, you heard the announcements this morning, so just keep on going on with the Lord, and that'd be great. I'm forgetting. I know anything I'm forgetting? No? Okay. Everybody happy? All right. I want to hear some more of that singing, brother. So come on up here and listen some.
All right, just remain seated if you sing good. That's another rule. I'm just coming up with rules. Somebody else with a favorite. Over for, yeah. This is right. Pat, I couldn't think of your name. Sorry. Say it again. 55. Okay, and I don't know why I was holding out my deaf ear. All right, number 55, At the Cross. We'll sing the first class.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Somebody else in 5-3, what you said? 153. Great song here.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender. surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
All right, and in case you're just joining us by live stream, that wasn't the invitation. We were late getting it set up, but we're just singing some songs tonight. All right, Judy, 257, 257. Farther along, good song, 257.
Tempted and tried, we're of made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, nevertheless, death, though in the wrong, farther along we'll know all about it, farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine, we'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when He comes from His home in the sky, then we shall meet Him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
One more, we'll stand it, Brother Joe. 157. 157. All right, well, let's stand and do this one. We'll sing the first and last, and then we'll have a little handshake and fellowship time.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
All right, we'll sing a few more in just a few minutes, but let's have a little fellowship time right now.
All right, good, good, good. I enjoy the fellowship and enjoy, and good to see everybody tonight. And isn't it great to be back in church? I'm just so thrilled to my heart here tonight. Time for the offering. If you didn't able to give this morning, then tonight will be that opportunity. Or if you want to give a little something else and put it in there, and whatever the Lord lays upon your heart. I need a couple of men up here, Brother Ed and somebody. If they're in help, I think we can get it with two people. And let's get that offering. I love our little orchestra back over here. And so I always encourage young people to get up here. And there was a time I didn't know how to play an instrument and had somebody to show me, help me. I've always thought one of the best ways to learn something is just get up there and do it. And I'm not perfect. Well, none of us are. I make mistakes all the time. The only difference, I think I play so fast you don't hear the mistakes, something like that. But I think if some of y'all want to get an instrument and I learn to play it, just get it and come on up here. And it'll be a blessing. I really enjoyed that. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for now this opportunity to give or bless our people. They're for good giving people, Lord. Bless them and honor them for being obedient to your word. Bless this offering now in Christ's name. Amen.
Take time for two more songs. If somebody has a favorite, either call it out or raise your hand. Anybody? Oh, number 19. I heard somebody. John, was that you? Okay, number 19. Number 19. Everybody find it? This one starts out kind of low. Here we go. If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see the miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, a sinner saved by grace. Just a sinner, saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now I grow and breathe in freedom with each breath of life I take. Loved and God not brought me gently to this place. I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood took my place. Now I grow and breathe in freedom with each breath of life I take. Loved and forgiven, back with the living, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Wouldn't hurt for that song to be in a little bit higher key, I think. Wow. Somebody else. One more. Anchor song. Is it 461? I think it's 461. All right. Let's stand and we'll sing this one and then we'll have our special tonight. 461. Sing the first and last stanzas.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife,
When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps us all steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Good singing. Thank you. Be seated. Right before Steve comes tonight, I'm going to say they're not boys anymore. How about that? The darling young men are going to come and sing.
In the garden all alone, Jesus prayed for his own. Tell someone how precious he is. Roman soldiers mocked his name as he stood in for our shame. Tell someone how precious he is. Tell someone how precious he is. And tell them what a wonderful friend. And tell them that he understands, and on him they can depend. Tell someone how precious he is. And tell them on a cruel tree Jesus died to set them free. Tell someone how precious he is. But tell them this was not the end, for in 3 days he rose again. Tell someone how precious he is. Tell someone how precious he is. And tell them what a wonderful friend. And tell them that he understands, and on him they can depend. Tell someone how precious he is. And tell them that he understands, and on him they can depend. Tell someone how precious he is.
Guys, a lot of talent right there, and coming for the future here, too. Thank you for that. Well, get your Bibles ready. I always enjoy what Steve has for us, and get your Bibles and follow along now.
All right, take your Bible, if you will, tonight, and turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. When you get there, I want you to hold your place. Mind that first. Daniel, chapter 3. The adult Bible class in Sunday school, we're going through the book of Daniel, and it's an exciting part of the scripture. Getting ready to explain the rise and fall of the world empire. Getting ready to get into that. There's so much prophecy and so many exciting things in the book of Daniel that it's better than reading kind of storybook children. Get the book of Daniel and read about them, Daniel and the lion's den or some of them things. Really exciting. All right, Daniel chapter 3. Now hold your place there and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Last Sunday when Brother Calick was preaching, he talked about that stuff in life back over there, and he was remembering many things that had happened in his own life that he looks back on, and he sees God did great things back there, and knowing that God did great things back there, he's going to keep on doing great things. Do that for sure. You remember Scott preaching along that line. But one specific thing he really got my mind to, and that's when he said, if you remember, they were at church Sunday night, I think it was, and his father-in-law was in the back of the church. Remember that? Trying to get Brother Scott's attention. So Brother Scott goes back to where his father-in-law is, and you remember what his father-in-law told him? He said, the house is on fire. And boy, Scott got his young family. Boy, they rushed over there, and where his house was burning to the ground, and I guess they lost everything they had in that fire. And I was listening to that, and my mind was racing around the scripture. I said, there's a verse that I'm trying to find on that, and I did find it. It's right here in 1 Peter chapter 4. And just look at one verse with me there, verse number 12. And this is kind of what I want to bring to us for just a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God says this, beloved. Oh, if it's talking to beloved, who is that? That's born-again people, Christian people, person, right? Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And that's the verse I wanted to, my mind wrapped around a little bit. And so we found the text, and I read the verse again, again, and again, and again, and marveled at the wording of it. Beloved, think it not strange. I mean, what I see in that verse is the fact, I started to say the probability, but no, the fact that every child of God at some point in their Christian life is going to go through a fiery trial. All of you probably already have. Tad is a young Christian, and I don't know that he's gone through, as a young Christian, a fiery trial yet. About all of us can, to Brother Tad, and say, son, you're going to sooner or later. And the wording of the scripture just amazed me. It says, when, not if, but when you go through that fiery trial, number one, think it not strange. So, you know, the right attitude about it, number one, it's nothing that's strange about being a Christian. I said, well, I thought being a Christian meant everything's going to be okay until you get to heaven. Well, no, it doesn't work out that way, does it? So think it not strange. Then another thing about that, which is to try you, it's almost like it's almost that God orders it to try us, to test us, put us through a trial. Then at the end of the verse, think it not strange, then it says, as though some strange thing happened unto you. What I see in all that is proper attitude every Christian ought to have when they go through a fiery trial. Now, I wish it just said concerning the trial, which is to try you. No, the scripture says the fiery trial. And I thought about that word, fiery trial. You can go to Daniel now if you want to. You know, chapter 3, we'll get there in a second. And I said, well, Lord, what is it about the trial that you emphasize here? Fiery trial. And I was trying to think of some things about a fire that would make a trial a fiery trial. Now, when I'm talking and preaching through this, I think every one of you in your mind can think of a fiery trial in Peru. Number one, about a fire, it's hot, isn't it? Now, all of us probably, if we've got some age on us, have tested a fire inadvertently or just by accident. I've done that one through the years. One time when I was a little boy, we were roasting marshmallows at an open fire somewhere. And instead of roasting a marshmallow, I guess I was trying to roast my fingers. And well, it didn't get that bad, but accidents happen. And you know what I learned then and before and after about a fire? It's hot. I thought about that in trials of life, you know, fiery trials. Trials and tribulations and things. Some of them are really hot. Some trials, can I say, hotter than others? Yeah. So the fire is hot. Then number two, why is the fire hot? And this goes along with it. A fire hurts. Now, I thought of a vivid picture in my mind that are old enough, and most of you are, maybe you younger people, your parents, if they'll let you, go back and watch the video of 9/11. When those people in the top of the World Trade Centers and the building on fire, the 100th story or whatever, and you know where I'm going with this, you saw many people on live television jump out of the building and falling to the earth a certain death. You know why they did that? Because the fire was hot. The fire hurt, didn't it? I guess Brother Ed that said, what would hurt worse? I'm going to die. What would hurt worse? Made the choice to jump out. And, you know, that's terrible. But a fire hurts. And when God says that we go sometimes through a fiery trial, look, sometimes a trial can hurt us physically. Yeah. I mean, a real fire, of course, would. But tonight, I'm not really talking about physical trials. I'm talking about other things we go through, trials of family, trials on the job, trials of all kind of things. And you're nodding your head like that. You're agreeing with me. You've gone through some. You know what? They hurt, don't they? They really hurt. And church, I don't like to hurt. But you know what? Sometimes going through a trial, I hurt. Why? Because it's a fiery trial. It hurts. Then there's another thing about a fire. It destroys. And Brother Scott and his wife saw the house burned to the ground. That fire destroyed everything they had. And it did. Well, sometimes trials that we have to go through destroy things in our life. Destroy our dreams. Destroy our hopes and goals about things. Sometimes I've seen fiery trials in my own life, in my own family. Fiery trials I've gone through have destroyed my family. I was thinking about my parents and aunts and uncles, sisters and cousins, and you name it, everybody. My family has gone, except me and Gail, all of them have gone through the trial of divorce. Everybody in my family. And Gail and I haven't done that yet. I think we're at it too long now. We're not going to need to worry about that now. And by the grace of God, I've never worried about that with my wife. I don't know if she could say the same about me or not. But listen, divorce is a horrible fiery trial, isn't it? That destroys family. All kind of things. It does. And so, fire destroys. So, think it not strange, beloved. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. One that's hot. One that hurts. One that destroys. Then, you know, I flipped the point on the other side, and I've learned in my life that when I go through that fiery trial that I go through, sometimes I see the end of the story, you know, fire has actually, in the end, been a blessing of some kind. Up in Pittsburgh in Gatlinburg just a few weeks ago, all of us recall, was it a year ago or 2 years ago now, when they had the horrible fire up there and destroyed thousands of acres of land. And it was devastating. A lot of people were killed. Horrible. If you go up there now where those fires were, you don't see a destroyed land. You know what you see? You see a land that's been rebirthed. Revived and greener than it was before. What I'm trying to say is, when we have to go through a fiery trial, that fire can purify things in our life. As a fire purifies gold, fire can reveal things in our life that bring us to a place where we need to bow before God and get right with the Lord about things. And in the end, hey, the trial has made us better than we were before. We'll let it. I've seen many people, Christians, go through a trial that makes them bitter and hateful. They get out of church and get out of fellowship, and they die that way. God, don't let a fiery trial do that to me, to any of you. Well, fire is a fiery trial. And while we're going through the book of Daniel, I said, Lord, give me something in the Bible that we can learn from about going through a fiery trial. And you know exactly what I've thought of in the book of Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 3. We're not going to read all these verses at the beginning of chapter 3. Get to those in Sunday school in 4 weeks. But just to give you the story, look at verse number 1. We'll start there and skip over a bunch. Look at verse number 1 of Daniel chapter 3. The Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. His height was 60 cubits. Now, a cubit, most people, is 1.5 feet. So get your calculator brain working. How many feet is 60 cubits? How many feet? Right, that's pretty tall, isn't it? That's a tall statue. It's like a 8- or 9-story building, isn't it? Right. An image of gold whose height is 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. Set it up in the plain of Dura, province of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governor, the captain, the judge, the treasurer, the counselor, the sheriff, and all the rulers to come up with the dedication of the image that the king set up. But basically, here's what Nebuchadnezzar did. He set up an idol image, probably thinking of himself, that people should bow to and worship. And he made this proclamation that when the trumpets sound and the sackbut sound and when the drums sound and when the orchestra plays, when the mandolin and the guitar and the violin and the piano get the sounding. You know the story. Everybody, all the land, is to bow down before the image which I, Nebuchadnezzar, have set up to worship. And so I'm sure one day they had that set up and they had all people gathered and the music sounded and the people bowed down. Well, almost all the people. And you know the story again. The three Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Now look, the Bible doesn't exactly say this, but I'd like to think this. That here there are thousands and thousands of people gathered in front of that idol. There are our three young Hebrew boys, our friends, teenagers. There, what are they going to do? But you know what they did or what they didn't do. You know what? When Nebuchadnezzar set up that idol, he immediately called for all, even God's people that were started there to violate one of the Ten Commandments about worshiping a false god and an idol. And them boys weren't going to do it. And so here everybody's bowed on their face before the image. Except in the back of the field there, three young men kind of just standing like this. Everybody's bowed down, saying whatever they want to say, except these three boys. I'd like to think, and the Bible doesn't say, and I'd like to think if I'd been there and I was among the three there, that I'd do something like this. Hey, hey, look at us. They're not going to do that. Maybe jumping up and down a little bit, you know. I don't know that they did that. I tell you one thing they didn't do. They did not bow before that image. And you know what the consequence. So, if you look down here at verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, verse 17, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now look what they didn't say. They didn't say, our God will deliver us. They said, our God is able to deliver us. And he said after that, they kind of did, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Look at verse 18. But if not, I want you to see the faith of these guys, the determination, the conviction. Of course, when we read this, we need to examine our own faith, our own reaction, our own selves. Our own attitude. Selves. Don't worry about what Brother Ralph will do. Don't worry about what Jonathan's a teenager. Don't worry about what Jonathan will do. Think about what you will do. What you will not do. And here it is. The king, if not what? If God doesn't deliver them. If not, be it known unto thee, O king. Again, look at the respect of this, Brother Tyndall. It just says, known unto thee, O king. And here it is. That we will not. Don't you like that? We will not serve thy gods. That's pretty determined, isn't it? You believe them, don't you? I would have. We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. King, we believe our God's able to deliver us. King, O king, one way or another, he will deliver us out of your hand. If he doesn't, king, I need to tell you something, sir. We are not going to serve your God, and we are not going to worship that image. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. 19, the form of his visage was changed. I guess he couldn't believe somebody would actually violate the law. Visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he commanded, Satan commanded, that they should heat the furnace on 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. I said initially that some trials are hotter in our life than other trials. I would think trial I may have to go through one day concerning my children, my grandchildren, would be 7 times hotter than any other trial I may have to go. I think you parents and grandparents appreciate that. Oh, 7 times hotter. You know what happened here. The men, the soldiers, that threw Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego into the fire, threw them in there. I often wondered how they got in there. Somebody said, well, they just marched right on in there. I don't know that I would have done that. And I'm not sure they did. Look, even then, it was going to hurt. It was going to destroy. It was going to be hot. I don't think them boys were looking forward to that. I don't look forward to any trial I have to go through. If I know I'm getting ready to go through a trial, I'm going to be begging God to make it where I don't have to. If I know a trial is coming, I'm not going to run into it. I'm going to say, can we do it tomorrow or next year? I'm going to try, if I can, to avoid it. I don't like trials in my life. You don't either. You know what I think? I think them big soldiers had to bind them up, literally throw them in there. And you know what happened to the big soldiers that threw them in there, don't you? The fire was so hot, those soldiers perished. Yeah. Now, we're going to come back to this in a couple minutes. But I want us to consider tonight, just a few minutes now, what should our reaction be to a fiery trial? What should a Christian's reaction be if they go through a fiery trial? I'm talking about a trial that's hot, that hurts, a trial that may destroy you some fashion or destroy something in your life. What should our reaction be? Number one, I'm sure you can think of others. These are four that I came up with the other day. This helped me. It really has. I pray that it'll help you. What should our reaction be to a fiery trial? Number one, know that God does not make a mistake. Now, I believe God's in control of our lives. I believe God orders things in our lives. I don't, you know, time we do stuff to put ourselves into trials, God's not pleased with that. God's still on the throne. God is still there. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, even in a fiery trial. God's God and God's good, God's great. But many, many people I've seen in my Christian walk are going through a fiery trial of some kind. And the very first thing they do is blame God for it. God, why did you make me go through this? God, why are you doing this to me? God this, God that. I'm telling you, people want to point their fingers at God. I would never do it by the help of God. I would never point my finger to God and say, God, why are you doing this to me? Listen, you got to realize, number one, that God does not make a mistake. I believe when I go through fiery trials, I don't know. I'm a very unlearned Christian. I've got so much to learn about the Word of God and about Christian life. I'll tell you this. When I go through a trial, God may not have planned that for me, purposed that for me necessarily. Here's one thing for sure. God allows it to happen. Mr. Susan, I keep thinking about your accident the other day. You know, I don't know that God tripped you up, and I'm not trying to be funny. But I tell you one thing for sure. God allowed it to happen. And so, go through trials. And if nothing else, God allows it. But it's a mistake to think that God made a mistake. I came across a poem I found a couple days ago that blessed my heart about this. I wish I could have memorized it. I love poetry, don't you? Let me read this to you. It's not very long. My father's way, a twist and turn. My heart, a throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans go awry. My hopes, they fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark, and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, I all in him, he maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight is far too dim, but come what may, I'll simply trust, and I'm going to leave it all to him. By and by, the mist one day will lift. Plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, oh, it's been so dark to me. God made not one mistake. Boy, that helps me to read something like that. But what's our reaction to a fiery trial? Number one, we must realize that God does not make a mistake. Number two, our reaction to a fiery trial? We must, number two, have faith in God. Look, faith to be saved. And I'm telling you, live Christian life the way God demands that we do, it takes faith. It takes courage. It takes holy boldness. It takes faith to live that God wants us to live. And to illustrate that, I've already mentioned this today at the nursing home already, but until you see you before, but you know, Miss Jean Bryant that got saved a couple weeks ago at the nursing home, totally blind. I'm not going to go through all of it. But the thing that really got Miss Jean to thinking is when I put my hand right in front of her face, just like that, without touching her nose, just millimeters from her nose, said, Jean, can you see my hand in front of your face? Right there. Because you know I can't. I said, Miss Jean, you believe it there? Paused a moment. She answered, yes. I said, Miss Jean, why do you believe my hand is? And the answer she so carefully gave, because you told me it. That's faith, isn't it? Look, the way of God is right before us. And even when I go through a fiery trial, or any trial, I've got to have faith in God. It may be so hard, it may be so hot, it may hurt so much. It may look like my life is being destroyed in some way. I cannot see any good that'll come out of it. You know what? God says, call unto me. I'll answer thee. Show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. God says, believe me, by faith, it'll be all right. And even if I can't see the way, you know what? God's hand is right there in front of me. I may not be able to see it. Do that again. I may not be able to see that hand, but you know what? I believe it's there, hand of God, what he told me. So what's our reaction to a fiery trial? Number one, know that God does not make a mistake. Believe that tonight. Number two, have faith in God. Number three, claim the promises of God. Look, the Bible's filled up with them. All you got to do is read the Bible and claim them. They're there for the taking. They're there for the believing. They're there for the claiming. When I'm going through a fiery trial, we've already quoted some of the verses already. God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Look, if we're going through a fiery trial, as we're going to see in a minute with them three boys, it's going to be okay. Why? Because God is right there. God hasn't gone anywhere. I may go through a fiery trial I put myself in. But you know what? God is right there. We must know. We must claim the promises of God. And we could quote promises all day long. Claim them. Believe them. You're going through a fiery trial. What must our reaction to a fiery trial be? Number one, know that God does not make a mistake. Number two, have faith in God. Number three, claim the promises of God. Number four, and I'm closing with this, we're going to finish the rest of this. Number four, be about your Father's business. How many times have I seen people, I'm looking at some of you now, we've gone through fiery trials. Many of us have gone through a fiery trial together. You know what that trial did, Brother Ralph and Miss Etta Mae? It caused many people to quit. It caused many people to get bitter. It caused many people to be bitter to this day. And it caused a lot of people just to give it up. Today they're not even in church. Listen, I've seen Christian people that love the Lord, that claim to know Christ, go through a fiery trial. They've got the wrong reaction to it. They've messed up in some way or another. They just quit on God. I've learned the best thing to do. I'm in a fiery trial. Just get up off my feet. Get off my feet and just keep on going on. And God will help you do that. You got to be about the Father's business. Too much to be done around here. There's sinners we need to help win to Christ. There's people that are discouraged in this life. We need to encourage them. People that are down. There's people going through a fiery trial. Maybe some of you now. And if we knew about it, we need to encourage you and help you and hold your arm and help you through that trial. That's what we're here for, church. Why are we here? God help all of us do that. What should our reaction to a fiery trial be? One, know that God does not make a mistake. Number two, have faith in God. Number three, claim the promises of God. Number four, be about the Father's business. You know what? Sooner or later, the fiary trial will be over on it. You've been through them before, haven't you? And you know God will bring you through it. But what about the fiary trial these fellows went? Go back to Daniel chapter 3. I'm not going to read all this for sake of time, and I'm about done. They threw them in there, and look, I can only speculate. Those guards threw the boys in there. They were bound, I'm sure, hand and foot. They get thrown in there. All of a sudden, they look back, and the fire has caused those soldiers to perish. And they're in the midst of it. Right in the middle of it. Fire. The bands that they had are busting. They're there. And all of a sudden, they look around. You know what? The fire is there. And 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 they're right in the middle of it. It's fiery all around them. In the furnace. Hey, Meshach. Are we dreaming? Meshach, are we really in a fire? Meshach says, I think we'll ask Abednego. Abednego! And he's there, I was getting ready to ask y'all. And the fire is engulfed in flames, seven times hotter. There they are, maybe for a minute or two. We're in the midst of it, the burning fiery furnace. They're there, and they're walking around. They're not being burned. It's amazing, isn't it? They're in the fire. They're going through the trial. The trial is hot. It's hurtful. It's not too hot for them. It's not hurting them. It's not destroying them. Here they are. They're in the fire. And as we learn a little bit later, they're walking around. And I don't know how many hours they were in that fiery furnace. I'm not sure. But after a little bit, maybe after a couple minutes, maybe after about 5 or 10 minutes, they say, hey, we got this thing lit. Let's have a seat. Hey. Right in the midst of the fire, the fire wasn't put out. It's there. Well, during all that time, somebody was having trouble sleeping in the kingdom. The king, he gets up the next morning. Look at verse number 24 in Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto the counselors, did we not cast 3 men down to the midst of the fire? Imagine there's a little window there or something. Nebuchadnezzar's got his glasses on. Takes the glasses off, looking, puts his glasses back. Y'all see what I see? He said, well, you know what he saw. He answered, true king, look at verse 25. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I'm telling you, somehow, God gave that king knowledge, wisdom to know that fourth one he saw was Jesus himself. Well, they came out of the fire. They didn't have the smell of smoke on them. You know what they did? They got about the Father's business. You know they never forgot that. Let me close with this. I have been through 3 trials before. Have you? I threw it, didn't you? Know how you got through it? There was a fourth man walking around with you through the trial. You couldn't see it. You couldn't. I'd let Nebuchadnezzar see it. You'll never see it. When you're going through that trial, if your reaction is right, your reaction is that you know God doesn't make a mistake. You have faith in God. You're claiming God's promises. You're going to be busy about the Father's business. Your reaction is right. Lord, I'm going through this trial. I know you're with me. You're going to make it. You're going to get. And you will. And you have before, and you will in the future. So, look, I'm not looking forward to going through any trial in the future, much less a fiery one. Here's what I will look forward to. When I do go through one, I'm looking forward to the Son of God being right there with me. And you ought to do this. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, thankful for the bliss to be at church tonight. Lord, maybe there's somebody here, like the old preacher said one time, either in a trial, just coming out of one, or you're ready to go in one. Lord, trials are there in our Christian office. All of us, Lord, have the right reaction to trial. Lord, we're thankful that you're blessing and
for help, and you know you'll never leave nor forsake. Thank you, Father, what you do. Heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, preacher, Brother Steve, just pray for me. I'm going through a trial, maybe going through one. Pray for me that God will give, I see that hand, that God will give me the grace and strength go through it the way I ought to. Anybody else? There's another hand. There's another hand. There's another hand. There's another hand. And if you need to come to this altar just to confirm that resolve with the Lord, this altar is open. And y'all do that. Father, you meet.